Now, we are going to look at the fact that it is the Lord that teaches and confirms. The Lord is the one that does the teaching. I know people would like to say, oh, well, this person teaches great, that person teaches great. No. All anyone ever is a messenger. I don't care if they preach a message or that they teach a lesson or that they pastor a church. We're just messengers. Carry a message. Even in the teaching of lessons, we just simply carry a message. In John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, and this is the one that sets the tone for it. John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself." Now, what he says here very plainly is that if someone does the will of the Father, that they will know of the doctrine. They will understand what that doctrine is. It will ring true with them. There is an interesting thing about faith that I think that people don't really understand. It being an instrument. It is a rather unique instrument. It does not behave like any other instrument that we might know of or think of. For one, it's strictly spiritual. Number two, the only way you get it is by hearing the Word of God in the soul, not just in the ear. And by the way, that also does count for reading the Word of God. That you take it in the soul, not just that you read it. It works strictly in the soul. And in the lost, it gives a perception of the truth of the Word of God. In other words, they can understand what's said. They can understand what they're reading. They can see how it goes together. You know, it can make sense to them, but they will not necessarily understand all the ins and outs, because again, we go back to the overarching rule that the Lord deals with each and every one of us according to our ways and according to the fruit of our doings. He will render unto us and help us find according to our ways. So depending on how that person is, it varies what they get out of what faith shows them. It varies how that works. What faith is not is mental assent. It is not thinking, oh, I understand these things and they make sense to me. It's not that. That's in your physical mind. No, this works in the heart. Now, in the saved, again, if everything is right, because the Holy Ghost indwells, he teaches what faith shows, and there is an almost instantaneous understanding that comes with that. It's a very unique understanding. The way that it has happened to me more often than not is that I just know. I just know this is true. This is the way it is. And I will know what scriptures to go to support it. I even though I've never done that before, never dealt with it before, I know. Now, this is a thing that we have to understand. It's very easy for faith to stop working. All it requires to kill it is doubt. All it requires to kill it is to take your eyes off of the Lord. You know, to quit focusing on the Lord. to want to focus on yourself. This is, of course, what happened with Job. He was so bent on what he did and how well he walked that faith wasn't working at all. What he did of his own power. So virtually everything Job did was sin. It was wrong. Now, it didn't change the fact that he's still saved. He's just gone way far astray. Because he's doing things by pride. And pride is a killer. It blinds the eyes. It blinds the spirit. It stops faith from working. David did that. Solomon did it. Balaam did it. There's all kinds of people in the Old Testament that show us that they had trouble with walking by faith, even though they were, in the main, faithful individuals. Even Abraham had his troubles, and he was a friend of God. I mean, he did not have to do what he did with Sarah when he went into Egypt or into the land of the Philistines. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, here it plainly says that the Holy Ghost is the one that teaches.
What was that?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I spent some time this morning talking about the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. The natural man, in the vast majority of cases, has no faith. So he can't discern anything. For those few who do have faith, it is sufficient for them to gain an understanding that they need for salvation, but it is not the principles of the doctrines. Here it says very plainly, though, that the Holy Ghost teaches. He teaches both the person bringing the lesson or message, and he teaches those who are saved who hear that message. Now, this is where the Catholic Church gets it wrong. They do get an understanding that the Holy Ghost, they call him the Holy Spirit, has to bring an understanding of things. But they say that happens with the lost, which it does not. That happens only with the saved. And those who the Holy Ghost indwells, which is every believer. Now, can you not listen to the Holy Ghost? Yeah, you can. Don't recommend it. Doesn't go well because, as we know, and we will get there, that runs serious risks for an individual. Failing to hear what the Holy Ghost teaches runs a serious risk of him not ever teaching you again. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. And here's the interesting thing of how this actually works in a saved person. It works exactly opposite of what it works in the lost. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. So, in the saved, which is the wise, the teaching comes from the inside out. The Holy Ghost teaches. The individual learns it in the soul. His heart then teaches his mind, his physical mind. It works exactly opposite of what it works in the lost. The lost learn it in their physical mind, and then they try to stuff it into their soul. It doesn't work very well. This is a thing that I think is not well understood. Now, I think a good example of this is John Locke. He wrote quite a number of books about government and about Christianity. And I've got one of his books about Christianity. And most people take John Locke for being a Christian. He wasn't. And the reason I say that is because when you read what he wrote, if you know the doctrines, you know the man is wrong. Now, he defended Christianity, but his understanding of the doctrines was severely lacking. His understanding of the principles of the doctrines was lacking. Did he mentally agree with Christianity? Yes, he did. Absolutely. And he thought it was the best of religions. He also thought it was an excellent basis for government. He's not wrong. Okay, but that's all from his physical mind. That is not from his soul. And there are some things that you can believe that instantly show that, nope, sorry, you can't be saved. You cannot believe that you are saved by grace and kept by works and be saved. You cannot believe that, you know, that you get saved by Jesus Christ, but he was not God manifest in the flesh. You cannot say that you get saved by mentally agreeing to the Gospels and various other things. There are certain doctrines that on its face, when the person professes them, I'm sorry, they're not saved. They never were, because the doctrines are so egregious. But here it says very plainly which way it goes in those that are saved. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. This matches what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 23, when he said that we are to make clean the inside of the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. This also matches what's said in Romans 6, where he tells us that we are to yield to the righteousness that's within us. In other words, everything that we do as a child of God must come from the inside out. It must be motivated by faith, motivated by the love of God. If it is not, it is of the flesh. And therefore it is sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If it is not shown you what you need to do, then and you choose to do something, then that's sin. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how needful you think it is. I don't care how great a message you think it is. If it's under your own power in any way and not of the Lord and not of faith, it's sin. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ said, I do always those things that please him, speaking of the Father. Everything we are to do should be done by faith. Now, is that going to happen? No. But we can certainly understand that there are certain things that we should not take upon ourselves unless the Lord very plainly shows us that we are to do them. Psalm 94, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 94, verses 9 and 10. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? Who teaches man knowledge? The Lord does. All right knowledge comes from Him. First John chapter 2, verse 27. First John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. So, again, who does he say does the teaching? The anointing that you give of wherein that the Holy Ghost indwelled you. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us of his Holy Spirit, But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So who taught us to love one another? If we do so, the Lord did. That's not something that believers should need to be taught. Isaiah 54, verses 11 through 13. Isaiah 54, verses 11 through 13. Isaiah 54, verse 11. O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So what did he tell Israel and Jerusalem? He said, your children will be taught by the Lord. He will teach them. Again, this is talking about the fact when Israel turns, when he makes a new covenant with Israel. Psalm 25, verses 12 through 14. Psalm 25, verses 12 through 14. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now, again, here it says, for those that fear the Lord, that he shall teach them in the way that the Lord shall choose. He will choose how we're taught. And the reason why that is because he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows how we learn. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. And when the Lord teaches us, it sticks. That is one of the things I have found out about the Lord's teaching. When he teaches you the doctrines, they stick. You don't have to sit there and like go over it again and again and again to make sure you got it. It's there. I find it very interesting that because the Lord teaches, because he it is the one that is guiding and teaching, that when I sat down to write like a statement of faith, or sat down to write something in an article, I will write something and I will look at it and go, I'm not right. I need to fix that. That's kind of like not the way it should be. And I'll go back and try it three or four times, see if I can word it exactly how it needs to be. Why? Because I know sometimes when you write something, it's very interesting. You can say something and it'll come out right. You can look at the transcript of it and go, that makes no sense at all. Because the written word is not the same as the spoken word. And when somebody reads it, depending on the context in which they read it and depending on where their mind is at, you can take an entirely different meaning out of it. So when you write, I find that it's you write it and then you go back and you read it and you go, is there more than one way to perceive this and understand this? And the Lord knows that. He knows this about people. And I found that over the years, he will not let me finish something until I get it right. He will not let me complete something until I understand it. And this is a pretty unique thing to have happen to people, because I know that he did this to other people. But for him to do that, we have to be willing to let him do that. Therein lies the problem. Are we willing to let him teach us? Are we willing to listen to him when he does? Are we willing to let him correct us? Are we willing to actually be messengers, or do we want to run the show ourselves? Last one we're going to look at here as far as the teaching part of it is Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. We're going to focus on this a little bit more, particularly a couple of statements. Now, I've used this in the past because it's got so much in it to talk about those who stumble and fall and to talk about how we learn. But there's more to it than that here. In Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. And the first thing he asks is this question, whom shall he teach knowledge? Who is the Lord going to teach? That is a question that has to be answered. Is he going to teach the lost? Because he's going to answer that question himself. He's not going to wait for us to answer it. He is going to give us the answer of who he teaches. And he says, in answering to that, he again asks another question. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So not only teach, but to understand doctrine, which is beyond just basic teaching. And then his answer to that is, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Now, I've mentioned this before, who that is. We're not talking about physical little children. We are talking about those who are born again. Which should now tell anyone and everyone that the Lord does not teach the lost and make them to understand doctrine. Does he have messages for the lost? Yes, he does. But he also knows who will hear that message and who will not. His message to the lost is predominantly repent and believe the gospel. And anything ancillary to that or closely related to that that will help them understand why they need the gospel, why they need to get saved. But when we talk about the doctrines, we're talking about things beyond the gospel. We are talking about what he says here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. When he says, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? He's not talking about just the basics of salvation. He is talking about things beyond these things he sets forth in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Where he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That's a thing necessary for salvation. And of faith toward God. That's a thing necessary for salvation. Of the doctrine of baptisms. Of the laying on of hands. Of the resurrection of the dead. And of course, that's a part of the gospel as well. And of eternal judgment, which is also, again, part of the teaching of the gospel. So there are six things there that he lists, four of which directly apply to the gospel, but two of which are beyond it. And he says, we're not going to lay again the principles of these doctrines. It's just not telling you what the doctrines are, it's telling you how they work, why they are what they are, what they do. We're talking about the principles of them. The underlying laws and rules that make them work. And how they relate to other doctrines. And what the Lord is doing with them. So it is beyond just simply getting told and preached the gospel. And why we need salvation. So when he talks about over in Isaiah 28, to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, he is talking about believers and taking believers beyond merely just the gospel and beyond the basics of things into a greater understanding of his word. the whys and wherefores, the how. How his doctrines work. And he says, going back to Isaiah 28, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And this remains consistent. This is always the way we're going to learn. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little in Scripture, there a little in Scripture. And of course, that's how it's set forth in Scripture. You don't find everything just laid out. You have to go all throughout Scripture. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And for those people that he's referring to here, Israel, who are blind, that he has blinded their minds, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. In other words, the way that he has designed this to teach is so that in plain sight his word can be read, and to those who are unlearned and blind, who do not know the Lord and who do not have faith and do not have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, they get nothing out of it. They stumble at it. Anybody who tries to force it and not follow his line upon line and precept upon precept, it is amazing what happens. They think that they can go to Bible college or seminary or go to their colleges to learn their doctrine. And instead of learning truth, it goes off in the weeds. Invariably. Pretty much every Bible college and seminary that's ever been started has ended up in error. Because that's not how the Lord teaches. Not how he does things. This is the death knell of a lot of independent Baptist churches. They decide they got to have a school and they got to have a Bible college and they got, instead of just having a church and teaching in the context of a New Testament church, they think they got to do this. And so they try to codify everything and make everything orderly and hand it all to people on a silver platter, and the Lord doesn't work that way. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And we either do it his way or we don't do it at all. See, the way that they choose to do it departs from faith. Faith is not operative when they sit in a classroom and everything is handed to them on a silver platter. No, I can tell you what is operative, though. The physical mind. And they'll learn it up here. They won't learn it in their heart. You cannot force the Lord to teach you. You cannot force him to give it to you. He will give it to you in his time. It's like he told him. He said, I have many things to say unto you now, but you can't. He said, but you can't bear them now. When you can bear them, you'll get taught them. And see, that's the problem. We think we can bear whatever. The children of Israel said, without ever seeing the covenant, all that thou hast said will we do and be obedient. Dude, you not even see the covenant yet, and you're going to agree to this? That's foolishness. We think we can handle the doctrines. No, we can't. It's amazing what happens with our heart and mind when we just get a bunch of stuff shoved on us. Like I was told so much when I was growing up, son, you know, just enough to be dangerous. And that's what happens. Now, what this basically says is that, and what I've spoken of before, is that everyone who sets forth to teach has to be legitimately called. They have to be legitimately sent. And they have to go in humility. And, believe it or not, in weakness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10, because it must be of the Lord, and it must be His doing. The Apostle Paul found this out, and of course the Lord had him record it for us so we would have it to see and to read and to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, if we're going to do it in our own strength, it's going to be weak. But if we are going to allow ourselves to be used of the Lord, then we will be strong. Again, as I pointed out earlier, this was Job's problem. And it is the problem of a lot of folks today. Now, being a messenger means that one does not determine what the message is or the lessons will be. The Lord determines what those messages and lessons are, as He knows what every person who receives the words of that messenger needs. He knows what we all need. He knows what we will accept and what we will not. He knows what He intends for each and every one of us. There is no way I can know that. I can't possibly tell what's going on inside somebody. Now, through faith, the Lord will bring an understanding and confirm the doctrines. The Holy Ghost will teach. In other words, what the messenger brings, if it is actually what the Lord has brought, has sent, the Holy Ghost will confirm it. And through faith bring understanding. So, we're going to summarize some things. The things which occur with the lost and the saved when it comes to the messages that are heard are different. They're not the same. What happens with a lost person versus what happens with the saved person when the message is brought, those are different things that occur. They don't, what happens inside those two individuals is not the same. With the lost, the message enters through the eyes and ears and is processed in the brain and may or may not reach the soul. May or may not. If faith exists in the individual, and we know that it does exist in some of the lost because that's how we get saved, the Lord will use it to convict and show the need for salvation and to help the individual understand why they need salvation. It's what it's there for. In other words, that word that they get, they will see it. They will understand it as far as it goes and how it applies to them, and they will either accept it or reject it. Since the Holy Ghost does not indwell the individual, there's no teaching from the Lord. The individual themselves evaluates it, looks at it, decides whether they will accept it or reject it. If they perceive the truth of it and they love the truth, they'll stick with it. If they do not love the truth, they will reject it. If faith does not exist in the lost person, The soul may elect to hear it or may reject it. If it elects to hear it, faith will be imparted. If he hears the word of God, if that individual hears the word of God, they will get faith if they hear it in the soul, if the soul chooses to hear it. If they reject it, it will make no sense to them. They won't understand it. The saved are different because they have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. He teaches, he imparts understanding through the operation of faith, and the understanding of the doctrine goes beyond just knowing what the doctrine is. It extends to understanding the principles of the doctrine and how that doctrine works and fits in with the rest of doctrine. And it goes as far as the individual is able to bear. We should also understand that teachers do not actually teach in the sense of imparting knowledge to the soul. They bring a message. In the soul, the Holy Ghost, through faith, will either confirm or reject the message. Now, we are a triunity of parts. Two parts of us are spiritual, one part is physical. The unfortunate thing about it is, even in the saved, the physical has a lot more influence and power than it really should. Therefore, we tend to hear things and see things, and that's how it impacts us. And either the Holy Ghost will confirm it or deny it. In the lost, it's strictly physical. In other words, unless they come to the understanding that they need to come to and belief and knowledge of the truth and get saved, everything that they come to perceive is very basic. And it's geared towards salvation. Because who is dealing with them? It's not me or you. It is the Lord.
Holy Ghost.
He does not indwell them, but he does convict them. Now, in all this, we should understand that mental assent or intellectual assent or whatever you want to call it is not faith. I don't care how much knowledge you have of what Scripture says. Max Beasley Sr. was impressive. Anybody who can memorize the entire Sermon on the Mount and quote it back to you has got an impressive memory. But he could not tell you what it was about. He memorized the letters to the seven churches in Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3. But he could not tell you what it was about. He didn't understand the promises at the end of them, of each letter. There were certain promises the Lord gave. He did not understand what those were about. So it really is interesting the difference that occurs even in somebody who is very intelligent if they are not saved versus someone who is saved. Now, the seed of the stony in the stony ground and thorny ground are individuals who have mentally or intellectually assented to or agreed with the doctrines of the Lord. That's what those two illustrations show. They intellectually or mentally agreed with the doctrines they heard. They liked them. But it didn't do anything for the soul. And therefore, it was not profitable for them. Faith is operative in the soul and only in the soul. And faith gives a true perception and a true understanding. But without the Holy Ghost to teach, it's limited what you can get by faith. There are a lot of pieces to this puzzle. There are a lot of things that go on with it. There's no cut and dried with it when it comes to dealing with people. The Lord knows who an individual is and how they're going to take something. There's no way that any of us could ever understand what goes in somebody else on in somebody else's heart. But the Lord knows. We do not, despite what the Catholics like to claim, give faith one to another. I don't have anything to do with your faith. Now, do I have something to do with your body of doctrine? Insofar as you agree with what, and the Lord shows you what the truth is, what I teach, yeah. But I'm just a messenger. And you are free to accept or reject the things that I teach. If I don't teach the things of the Lord, He's not going to confirm it. If I do, He will. Therefore, it behooves me to always understand by faith what I am to teach and go from there. Now, who gets the glory in all this? Because there are some people obviously interested in that.
The Lord does.
The Lord does. Because it's all of Him. We're simply messengers.
Does that go with the principle of the unprofitable servant?
Yeah, pretty much. Because that's all we ever will be, is unprofitable servants. We don't actually add anything to Him. Are there people that don't like that? Absolutely. But those people aren't saved. Because anyone who is a true child of God would understand that and really appreciate the fact that it's not my responsibility to understand what goes on in your heart. Well, my responsibility is to understand what the Lord's going to give me to teach or to preach. We don't open people's heads up and pour it in. It doesn't work that way. We're messengers. And that's all a child of God will ever be. And there's nothing wrong with that because we don't know enough to be anything else. All right, let's have a time to go before the Lord.